importance of continuing to pray. It is intended to encourage the followers. They have just heard or read teaching about the coming of the kingdom. And at the time of writing, the Christians were expecting Jesus to come again imminently. Faith is at the heart of this interpretation, as indeed it has been at the centre of the previous chapter, and will go on to be important in the rest of the chapter. The challenge laid down in verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Yes, Luke is very clear about the meaning. The widow, the plaintiff who eventually persuades the unjust judge to grant her justice. The power of prayer is made evident here. If we keep on, if we persist in prayer, then just think what will happen when we keep praying to a God who is just. An awesome message indeed. One that the Christians of the first century, at the tail end of it, no doubt needed to hear. And to be fair, a message that can bring us in the 21st century some much needed encouragement as well. We need to pray and pray and pray at this time and at all times. But by presenting the parable in this way, Luke is actually making it more allegorical. It has, by definition, allegorical, it has a hidden meaning, although actually how hidden is this meaning with Luke's introduction? Whereas the parable invites us to consider a multitude of meanings and messages that are offered. This does not make the message that Luke has recorded any less valuable or any less valid, but it is potentially limiting. So first of all, we have the two main characters, the widow and the judge. Throughout the Bible, widows were traditionally viewed as some of the most vulnerable in society, often poor and powerless. Therefore, it was part of Jewish law to look after them. Yet here we have a widow who had the time and the wherewithal to keep coming to the judge again and again until she got what she wanted. The curious thing here as well is that the tone of the Greek used in this passage is actually quite aggressive. The word translated here as justice and edikithon is probably more accurately vindicate. That is, prove me right, or even avenge. There is no way of telling whether this widow has a just cause or that she is merely seeking to be right or to be avenged. And indeed, that is the cause of speculation among some scholars. Nevertheless, it's the word translated as wear me out in verse 5 that conveys what length this widow is prepared to go to. The word used, hypopiazzo, if anybody is a Greek scholar, I apologise for my mangling of the pronunciation, is, according to my sources anyway, a boxing term. And I believe it literally means to blacken the eye. This judge, as described by Luke and confirmed by the judge himself, who did not fear any person or God, was concerned about the violence the widow could bring on him, or potentially bring to him. And so he helped her. So we have then two morally ambiguous characters and an ambiguous grievance. So what on earth can we gather from that? Here are a few of my thoughts. We live in a very complex, messy world. Humans are complex and often messy too. But that does not mean that we cannot strive for justice, whether for ourselves or for others. Yet somewhere in our psyche, there seems to be that little voice that questions our integrity. You say that this is unjust, and yet you're not perfect either. What gives you the right to talk about whatever issue may be being discussed? A recent example of this was an open letter written by some celebrities who had publicly supported the Extinction Rebellion protests in response to some media calling them out for their hypocrisy. Because, obviously, they use flames. The industry that they were involved in has a high carbon footprint. And they agreed. But they also pointed out that the real story, the real important thing, is the fact that we and governments need to be addressing the climate issue as it becomes increasingly more dangerous for us as we go on. And if only people who are able to maintain a zero carbon footprint are allowed to speak out, then the planet is doomed, because we're all compromised in some way through the way that we live, the choices that we make, and the systems that are in place. Yes, we all need to make personal changes. And I recognise my own failings in caring for the environment. I try to use more plant-based foods. I try and reduce my use of single-use plastic. And yet, I drive a car, and it's a diesel. And I'm not willing or able to change that because of the cost and the fact that there's not sufficient infrastructure to be able to use a more environmentally friendly option. The amount of miles that I cover around the Dorset countryside, I do not want to be running out of battery. As Christians, we are called to be careful stewards of the earth. We are called to share God's love with the world. We are made in his image. And just because we are flawed and we mess up at times, does that mean that we should stop trying? The widow certainly didn't. The widow and the judge were also tied into their systems and ways of living, just as we are today. They used and worked within the system, and for the widow, this time at least, it was successful. But we should also be able to challenge when the systems are failing people. And systemic change is more likely to happen if its flaws are brought out into the open and there is a cry for change. A similar train of thought can be applied to a range of issues: immigration, welfare, homelessness, injustices that occur in other countries and continents. When people cry out against injustice, often their own character, beliefs and actions can be criticised and their motives questioned. Yet, as the parable shows us, none of us are completely perfect. But it should not stop us from seeking justice and receiving justice, as long as it is justice that we seek. It's good to consider the difference between justice and vindication, and to apply these definitions to the causes that we sign up to, whatever they may be. It is a good thing to recognise that we haven't got it right, that we are inconsistent, that sometimes when we cry for justice, perhaps what we really mean is vindication, or even avenge a perceived wrong. It's so important to discern what should be and what needs to be fought for. We want to be right, and that means those who do not agree with us must be wrong. And therein lies the danger, and one that is sadly playing out in our society today. It's easy to blame either side in Brexit, in this Brexit debacle that is happening now. But ultimately, we, every individual here and beyond these walls, can change the tone of this debate. Instead of demanding vindication or trying to be right, let's cry for mercy for all. We are all of us capable of being morally ambiguous at times, driven by our passions and need to be on the winning side, that sometimes we forget to bring compassion to the discussions. In this time of uncertainty and change, as the church, universal, we need to keep praying privately and publicly. We need to have faith in God, who is just and righteous. And though we acknowledge the inconsistencies that we bring, just like the forceful widow and the unjust judge, we can still strive and should strive for justice in the communities around us, and to be an encouragement to all. Amen.